Eat Drink Indiana Radio is made possible with support from Marigold Clothing, making fashion fun since 1989, and Broad Ripple, featuring women's clothing, gifts, and accessories, and committed to customer service. More on Facebook or at marigoldclothing.com. Eat Drink Indiana Radio is powered by eatdrinkindy.com. Eat local, drink local, eat drink indie. Welcome to Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI HD to the Point. I'm your host, Jolene Katzenberger. Today on Eat Drink Indiana Radio, we are looking ahead to the farmers market season, which kicks off May 4th. Of course, Indianapolis now has several winter or year-round markets, and we've been excited about the Broad Ripple Winter Market at Bent Rail and the Farm to Fork Market at Normandy Farms, as well as the new home for the Indy Winter Farmers Market at the Circle City Industrial Complex. But there's nothing like the start of the outdoor market season to make you feel like spring is here for real. So this week, we'll hear about four of the mini farmers markets in and around Indianapolis. We'll be talking with Stevie Stace Kirsch of the original farmers market at the Indianapolis City Market, Ashley Brooks and Julia Woody of the new Garfield Park Farmers Market, Lance Smith of the JCC Farmers Market, and Jessica Linder of the 38th and Meridian Market. So stay with us for more here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI and WFYI.org. For our Farmers Market Focus show this week, we are starting out downtown at the Indianapolis City Market, where Executive Director Stevie Stace Kirsch kicks off this year's market May 4th with an Indy 500 theme. But first, we'll be talking about a grant the City Market just received from Southwest Airlines and Project for Public Spaces. That $220,000 grant, which the market received in conjunction with Big Car Collaborative, will make some pretty cool things possible. Stevie fills us in on getting the grant, what that money will make happen, and what it means for the market.
It's an interesting placemaking grant that we'll be using primarily on our East Plaza, so the plaza that faces all the great new development to our east and Alabama Street. But we'll also be including Wabash Street, which a lot of people see as an alley right behind City Market, and of course West Plaza, our big plaza that faces downtown. And in conjunction with Big Car Collaborative and Jim Walker's team, will kind of be building a bridge or a connection between the Market District and Monument Circle. So it's not a super engaging couple of blocks as you walk it. Now you've got some banks, of course, you've got some other industry. But with what Jim and the Big Car crew were able to accomplish last year with Spark on the circle, we may be taking some of those parklet ideas and placing them either on the sidewalks or in parking meter spaces along Market Street to really bridge that connection and make those two blocks more appealing and engaging to passersby. Long term, we'll be building that bridge and that making that connection with the South Plaza project at City County Building and the Transit Hub, all the development to our east. So it'll make for a more robust, active, and engaging Market East District.
You know, how do you see placemaking?
It has less to do with the actual place than it does engaging people to a specific place. So when we're talking placemaking, we're talking about making a place appealing and engaging. And that can be through a lot of different mechanisms and ways. What we're going to be doing, at least in the short term, over on East Plaza and around the market is using some of the infrastructure that Big Car already has in place from their Spark initiative last year on the circle, Monument Circle, with ping pong tables, and we'll be building some bocce courts possibly, and maybe even a half court basketball goal, you know, and some seating for passive people who just want to sit passively and charge a cell phone or read a book. We've got the great micro library, part of the public collection on our East Plaza. So we'll have seating areas. We'll have some activated spaces with the ping pong. You'll see the YMCA At City Market do more of their programming out on the plaza, whether it's Pilates or yoga or boot camp kind of classes. We'll be doing something with the quote unquote fountain that hasn't worked in many years, that is now just kind of an eyesore and a liability. And whether we'll be building a deck over that space as more of a performance lounge area, or making it into an urban garden, or possibly a fire pit. We'll be doing something interesting with that space, again, to make it more engaging for people to come. And, you know, I always talk about Project for Public Spaces loves the power of 10. In a city, there are 10 distinct neighborhoods or areas where within those, you've got 10 activities that can be engaged with in a place. So here at City Market, we're almost there. We've got, of course, you can grab a bike to eat. You can check out a Pacers bike share. You can work out at the gym. You can just socialize with your friends. You can grab a beer in the tap room. So we're getting there, but to really reach out to the areas that are kind of complacent right now and don't have that level of activity, East Plaza, Wabash Street, West Plaza, and make them more robust and active to make them a true great place.
Now, how does a grant like this come about? What sort of process did you have to go through?
We actually filled out an application last fall, and it was a fairly arduous application. I mean, the competition is stiff. They had both Southwest Airlines and Project for Public Spaces had more than 900 inquiries as to this annual grant for this year, and more than 90 applications from around the world. So we are thrilled, blessed, and super excited to have been chosen. And in fact, when we applied, we didn't realize that Big Car had also applied.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, we had a phone interview with the folks from Project for Public Spaces where they indicated that there were two applications from Indianapolis, and my heart just sunk. And they said, can you guess who it is? And I said, well, sure, it's probably Big Car. You know, they're very aggressive in this kind of fundraising effort. And so they said, do not panic. There's an opportunity here because we like both applications so much that we may be able to award them in tandem.
So now that's very cool. So this is collaborative from the very start.
Absolutely. And I think our, I presume our applications kind of spoke to the same mission and vision for that placemaking effort. And again, that east side of downtown, for as long as we can remember, the west side has been developed and been going gangbusters, and we've been kind of sitting over on the east side, okay, it's our turn, guys. And so finally, we have that opportunity to make those changes and to see those kind of activated spaces with people who will engage with them. I mean, we're getting ready for an onslaught of not only downtown residents, but employees who will be looking to City Market to be a big amenity, as well as Market Street and South Plaza of City County Building. So I think that there's a huge opportunity right now to get ahead of the curve before these people are already here. Let's do it now and be in place when they do get here.
Now, that's a very important point. This area of downtown is just on the edge of something big, right? What do you see happening as we go forward?
It is. I think as you look to the development to the east, it's incredible with 21C Hotel and Cummins and Flaherty and Collins and Artistry phases 3 and 4, transit hub, and it's all happening at one time, which is fantastic. So for us, you know, we have an opportunity, and we've been meeting with these folks pretty regularly saying, you know, we want to be a great amenity for you. We will write content for your newsletters. You know, we will offer couponing and different kind of group strategies for bounce back programs. We have a strategy in place that really reaches out directly to those folks who will be new to the neighborhood. We'll help them navigate their way around Market East District as well as downtown and the wholesale district, and really be, you know, one of the things is Flaherty and Collins will be an apartment, as are all of the Artistry units. And that's great. What we have found through years of study is that people stay longer in their apartment or in their building or in their neighborhood if they feel connected with that neighborhood. So one of the things that developers are doing today are really kind of paring back what they offer to their residents, because it keeps them in their building. If they've got an enclosed gym and the pool and all of these different things. They really want them to get out and be part of the community. So we have an opportunity to kind of fill that spot, to fill that void, you know, with the All Indiana Craft Beer Bars, Thomas and Taproom. You can go upstairs, grab a beer, and with the ping pong tables and bocce courts and different things that we'll be doing, you can grab a beer and take it out to those plaza areas and really enjoy. So it's perfect for the younger folks and really anybody.
Now, you've been waiting a long time to see this kind of development. What's your reaction?
It's gratifying. And what it does is we have talked for years about expanding that business day. And we just haven't had the critical mass in the late afternoon, evening to capture and do the kind of programming that we want, or even see stand owners stay open past 4 p.m. So what you're gradually seeing is that, you know, we have dinner offerings Monday through Saturday now, and at least 2 to 3, if not 4, market merchants are staying open. You'll see that happen even more as these populations build. You'll see people using the market, and it really gives us an opportunity to be a nighttime destination.
We've been talking with Indianapolis City Market Executive Director Stevie Stays-Kirsch about what's in store for the city's historic public market. We'll be back with more on the Farmers Market here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI and WFYI.org. The original Farmers Market at the Indianapolis City Market has been operating since 1997, making it one of the city's oldest farmers markets. The Wednesday market has grown considerably over the years, and you'll find a great roster of vendors when the market opens its season May 4th. It will kick off the season with an Indy 500 theme, but there are some new developments with the market, including a monthly twilight market on Thursday evenings that begins in June. Stevie Stays-Kirsch, Executive Director of the Indianapolis City Market, tells us what we can expect from this year's farmers market, both indoors and outdoors, and what we can expect in future seasons as well.
For the first farmers market, the launch, which is May 4th, we're talking about grants. We actually received a grant from the 500 Gives Back Committee under the umbrella of the 100th Running Host Committee to really theme it very 500, you know, so it'll be a very fun launch to the market. We'll have games and activities on the plaza. Some of the princesses will be here. Some of the drivers' wives will have a pace car. We've got a lot planned. We'll have checkered flags everywhere and pennants. So it'll be a really fun day with live entertainment and a lot of vendors, more so this year for the first market than in years past, because they've just gotten savvy and craftier about being able to extend that season. So they plant earlier. So we'll have a lot of vendors, and it will be, of course, blocking off Market Street. It starts 9:30 to 1:30 every Wednesday through October.
This is probably the second longest running market that's happening locally still.
I suspect so. I know that when we started the market in 97, we kind of looked to some of the more established markets at the time. And of course, there weren't many, Bloomington Farmers Market, Broderpool Farmers Market. So we're thrilled to be one of the longest standing and largest in central Indiana, with more than, at peak season, more than 50 vendors and producers and merchants that consume Market Street. And it's possible that even next year we'll be expanding that market quite a bit. I can't give details right now, but we always have so many more applications for the market than we do space.
That's the thing. So I wonder, the vendors are so packed in, you're probably just about full every year, aren't you?
We are, and I hate to do it, but we do have to limit the number of vendors, and we kind of look at product categories, you know, breads and sweets and produce and honeys and that kind of thing. And we have to turn people away, which just breaks my heart, because the whole point of a farmer's market is to build that bridge from the farmer to consumer and give them another platform for sales. So we are looking pretty aggressively next year, like I said, at expanding considerably to be able to accommodate even more vendors and becoming one of the state's largest markets and a great market for the urban core.
Because you're going to have more urban core with all the development that's coming on.
That's right. And we also already have the blessing of our fine folks from Cummins who will be in support of the plan that we're putting in place now to expand that by quite a bit next year.
Talk a little bit more about the Thursday evening.
So the Thursday evening is really designed to be more of a street market style market, complete with raw and prepared foods. This year we'll have sea salt and cinnamon. They are out of Muncie, Indiana. They do a vegan cupcake that looks, they've got a video, go online, sea salt and cinnamon. Look at this video. It's amazing. And you just want to eat everything that you see. We've got Bryant Farms produce, New Jack Garden pears. We've got a chocolatier who will be making an appearance at the Twilight Market with specialty chocolates, live entertainment, beer garden, activities for kids and adults. Again, it'll be the second Thursday. It'll be June, July, August, and September. Launches June 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. So again, mission is to capture that after work crowd. More and more folks are staying downtown after work and not getting in their cars and rushing home because there's more to do. And we have an opportunity to kind of capture some of those folks who want to come over, relax, have a beer, listen to some great music, take part in purchasing raw product or specialty product if they didn't get a chance to get here over on Wednesday. And it'll just be a fun festive atmosphere.
Expand a little bit more about then the Wednesday market and what it is and what the goals are for a farmer's market downtown in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day.
So we started the market, of course, again in 97 during the week. And it was the oddest thing because everybody's like, well, markets are on Saturdays. But we really felt like to capture the base of who was downtown at that time, it was the downtown employee base. What we have found over the years is that people are driving in from Hamilton County and Hancock County and Johnson County to kind of augment the great employee base that we already have. But it was started really to kind of return the city market to its agricultural roots. The market's main market house celebrates its 130th birthday this year.
Oh my goodness, 130 years.
Huge milestone. And she still looks great for being 130 years old. But the market started as a place to buy those kind of staples, your eggs, meat, cheese, wood, grain, hay. And somewhere along the line, likely after World War II, when people started moving out of the downtown area and establishing the suburbs, you saw the advent of the supermarket. City Market became more of a lunch counter to service the downtown employee crowd rather than a place to shop for your staples for the downtown residential crowd. That residential crowd was just going away. So what do we have today? We have a complete shift in model, once again, where people are moving in throngs to the downtown urban core, and we have an opportunity to really return the market to its roots and do some interesting co-op situations. We've got four of our farmers market merchants on Wednesday who will be taking over the lone vacant stand in City Market and doing a co-op on Wednesdays. That you may see that morph into more of a long-term initiative with different farmers market and local vendors taking over that spot on a rotating basis.
Well, now that's a very cool idea and a way to, you know, pull the farmers into the market to kind of expand that vision, you know, you were talking about.
I think so, too. And I think that you'll see more of that, again, as the East Side populates and people, you know, we read a study recently that indicated that people make their decision about what they're going to have for dinner at or after 4 p.m., So as Americans, no longer are we shopping with these massive shopping carts for like 2 to 3 weeks. And especially in the urban core, people don't have the space that you do in the suburbs. You don't have the chest freezers to be able to store your meat for a long time. So people shop very meal specific. We've got a great opportunity to capture that audience with the market merchants that are already here, and then augmenting what isn't here with, you know, being able to come over and get a lime for your cocktail and pasta for your dinner and some sauce and some soup from Circle City Soups. We have that opportunity, and I think that the merchants are really excited about it.
It sounds like you have a lot going on this year. Now you have a website where people can find information. Any other ways that where people should look?
Our website absolutely has a lot of information, ndcm.com. Social media is a great place to stay up to date on information. We do a lot of social media, so Facebook, Twitter at NDCM, Instagram at NDCM, Snapchat at NDCM. So we do a lot of alerts and kind of profiles of our interesting market merchants and farmers market vendors, and it's a great place to stay engaged.
We've been talking with Stevie Stays-Kirsch of the Indianapolis City Market. For more information on the farmers market that begins May 4th, go to ndcm.com. Jolene Ketzenberger, and we are back here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio talking about farmers markets. The outdoor market season kicks off this next week. As we heard earlier in today's show, the Wednesday market at the Indianapolis City Market opens May 4th. But Saturday, May 7th seems to be the day when many of our markets open for the season, including the city's newest. The Garfield Park Farmers Market opens May 7th from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. To find out about the new market, I met founders Ashley Brooks and market master Julia Woody at the new market location in the park near the corner of Shelby Street and Southern Avenue to hear about what they have planned.
We are in Garfield Park, which is just south of Fountain Square, and the farmers market will be located behind the tennis courts, right off of Shelby and Southern.
It's really very beautiful out here. So tell me, why the farmers market here? I mean, other than it's a lovely city park, tell me why.
Garfield Park neighborhood has been very supportive of this whole farmers market. We're really in a gap with farmers markets. There's one in Broad Ripple, there's one in Greenwood, but on Saturday mornings, there's nothing anywhere near downtown. So that's one of the reasons we wanted to do it here.
I guess I hadn't thought about that. You know, we think, oh my gosh, we have so many farmers markets, but
yeah, I think there's always room for more, and there's always room for more farmers, more urban gardeners, and certainly we realized that this park was kind of underutilized and kind of, in some ways, like a hidden gem of the city, and we just wanted to highlight this is the oldest park in the city. We're one of the newest farmers markets, so that's going to be really great, and yeah, it was just an obvious choice. We decided it should be here. So we live in Garfield Park. You know, we're neighbors. We're invested in this community. And it's just important to us personally and also, I think, the food community.
Now, it is sort of a food desert. You know, people probably don't think of it like that. You know, we're standing in the middle of a lovely park. But it is a food desert, don't you think?
Yeah, we have very few options for grocery stores around here, especially grocery stores that carry healthy, fresh produce. A lot of the grocery stores around here focus on more box food and things like that. So this is going to be a great resource to get local food to local people and healthy food.
Now, how do you go about doing that? What was the process of actually beginning to launch a farmers market?
You know, it starts with the conversations, and it starts with just kind of dreaming of a better situation. And so we started talking about it a long time ago, and many other people did too. I think a lot of people have hoped for this and have talked about it. And then we just kind of realized with our connections and the network that we've established with each other and the food community, we just realized that we could do it. And so we just did it. We just started digging in, figuring it out, and talking to people. We have an amazing advisory board. We have great community partners and sponsors that are helping us, you know, working with the Garfield Park Neighbors Association and Friends of Garfield Park. Slow Food Indy is a big sponsor. And, you know, we're just creating lots of other partnerships. And this really is a community effort. So we're bringing in a lot of people that live in this area that are invested, you know, talking with Big Car. And so a lot of good people involved.
So talk a little bit about the what's happening in the neighborhood, you know, since you both live in the area.
Yeah, so Julia and I, you know, we both bought homes here a few years ago and really started getting invested in this neighborhood, in this area, in this community. But there have been things happening and revitalization happening for quite a while. And I think there's a lot of momentum happening right now in Garfield Park and with the Red Line coming through. And I think the whole city and community sees a need to connect UND with downtown. So that's really important. You know, getting more businesses here and a lot of people moving to the neighborhood. So it's just kind of a perfect storm of like just timing and the people involved and more people in this community. And certainly organizations like Big Car, they're going to bring a lot of younger people and artists. And, you know, that's instrumental too. So.
And with the food community as well, there's a lot of momentum, don't you think?
There is. There's a lot more farmers popping up. There's a lot more independent food businesses starting up. And I think there's just a lot more interest in food and where our food comes from. You know, Slow Food Indy's really taken off. A lot of other organizations like that have taken off. And I think, yeah, people are just more interested in local, healthy food than they ever have been.
Now, how do you go about lining up the vendors? Because we do have so many, it seems, farmers markets, and the vendors, you know, have to try to be in lots of different places. So how do you go about lining them up for a new market?
We both have connections with a lot of the local farmers and vendors at markets. So we just approached people that we wanted to see at the market. We tried to get a really good mix of vendors, and I think we succeeded. We're going to have produce and meat and dairy, cheese, yeah, chocolate, coffee, prepared food. All of, we're having a little bit of all of it. Honey, yeah. Yeah, definitely 100% Indiana. And most of our vendors are even located between downtown and Garfield Park, so we're super local.
now, that's very interesting. So is there, well, apparently there is, enough of a growing grower community in this part of town to support this. This is great. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, we've got South Circle Farm, which is on South Meridian Street, less than a mile from the park. She's been in production for about 5 years now, and she's awesome. She does the several other markets. We have a brand new farm in Fountain Square called Pleasant Street Produce. We're really excited to have them too. They've never done a farmer's market before. So yeah, there are more farms popping up, and we're hoping that, you know, they come find us.
So tell me how the market will be laid out. So we are actually standing right here in Garfield Park, behind the tennis courts, you know, and so tell me what we'll see.
We'll have vendors lined up along the side here, and then we'll have some music over here with kids and kids activities. We'll have our market booth, which will have SNAP processing, as well as Fresh Bucks. We will have SNAP. Yep. Yeah. So we're just kind of going to be under the trees in the parking lot in the park. It'll be great.
And part of the area, so that parking over there will be available, right?
Yeah, we will have parking in this parking lot. There's also plenty of parking along both Shelby and Southern Streets, and there's a ton of parking in the park. So we've got lots and lots of parking options here.
So you are very close to the conservatory over there.
Yes.
Right? So that's kind of nice if people need a you know, a landmark, you know, between, you know, by the tennis courts and the greenhouse over there.
Yeah, well, I think it's really important us to be nestled in the park. And like you said, we're right by the conservatory, these beautiful gardens, and the library. So it's important for us to share, you know, this event with events that are happening in the park. So we welcome people to come and enjoy the library and the conservatory. And if there's yoga happening in the conservatory, like, we want to promote and cross-promote all of those events and or other organizations. And as well as there's going to be a lot of concerts in the park. So MLKB is instrumental in bringing more concerts here. And so we hope to, you know, promote our farmers market at the concerts. And so, yeah.
So this is really going to be a real neighborhood effort.
Yes. Yeah. I'm also on the Neighborhood Association board. So it's been great to hear all the feedback from the neighbors. Everyone is so excited about this happening that they can just walk into the park, which they do anyways, and come enjoy the farmers market. So.
Now, where can people go for more information? Website, Facebook pages?
Yeah, so they can check out our website, which is GarfieldParkFarmersMarket.com. We also have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and so you can find us there.
When is the first day, and what are the hours?
First day is May 7th. It'll run every Saturday, May through October, and we'll be open from 9 until 12:30.
We've been talking with Garfield Farmers Market founders Ashley Brooks and Julia Woody. The market opens May 7th, and you can find out more at GarfieldFarmersMarket.com or look for it on Facebook. We are talking farmers markets today here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio because the outdoor market season kicks off this week. But I have to point out that not all of our outdoor markets take place on Saturdays. The Wednesday market at the Indianapolis City Market, for example, kicks off May 4th, but we also have a Sunday market as well. The farmers market at the Jewish Community Center opens for its outdoor season on May 8th, which happens to be Mother's Day. So there'll be plenty of market activities happening at the JCC, which is located at 6701 Hoover Road, including yoga on the lawn from 11 to noon. To find out more about this Sunday market, I stopped by the JCC to talk with market manager Lance Smith.
For those that might not be familiar with where the JCC is, a lot of people know where Holiday Park is. We're very close to that. We're nearby the Meridian Hills area as well. So if that gives you any indication, got lots of activities going on here every Sunday. The fitness center is constantly going. Starting May 28th, the Eskenazi Water Park will be open, which is a huge draw. So, you know, come here, shop, and get your produce. Go to the pool, have a blast, maybe get a workout in. So you can make a day at the J, so to speak.
Now tell me what kind of vendors you'll have at the market, you know, how big it is, and what kind of vendors people can see.
Yeah, so our vendors, you know, what you would expect at a farmer's market, will have produce vendors. So something familiar to those that shop at farmer's markets regularly might be Annabelle's Garden. Most recently, we have King's Garden coming on board. They've been over at Market at Hague, and they're joining us now. A few smaller produce vendors carrying various things, peppers, tomatoes, you know, all the stuff that you're looking for in the summertime. One big one that we have is, he likes to call himself an ultra local honey producer.
Like right in the neighborhood?
Yes. So Eagle Creek Apiary is the vendor. And he's got hives all throughout Eagle Creek running up north and starting here in Indy. He has been a big draw. Customers come back weekly for his product. It's also got plenty of health benefits too, so it helps with the allergies.
Sure, the local honey.
Yeah, local honey, so it's going to help with your allergies. He's got bee pollen, which is going to carry a lot of your essential vitamins and minerals and amino acids. It's a great source of protein too. Another big draw, wild Alaskan salmon.
So they're going to be here. That's great.
Yes. So once a month, he will start, he will make his first appearance on May 29th. Probably the best wild caught salmon you're going to find in Indiana. Undoubtedly one of my favorite vendors, so I stock up every time he comes here, and that's once a month. He'll be here at the end of the month each month through the season. A couple others we have, H2O microgreens. So if you're looking for basil sprouts or garlic chive sprouts, things of that nature, he's got great product as well.
Those have become very popular. We're seeing a lot of the microgreens.
Yeah, microgreens, it's an easy addition to any dish. Salads, whether you want to throw it on top of some eggs, anything generic like that. It's another way for you to add in vitamins and minerals that you might be missing out on to get some of those antioxidants and nutrients. Garlic chive has become one of my favorites, so using that about weekly now. Another big draw we have is Lucy's Bakery.
Baked goods, always good.
Baked goods. They are a kosher bakery, another big draw, and I think their most popular bread is probably their chocolate babka bread.
Oh my goodness, that sounds so good.
To die for. He's always giving out samples, so come check him out. He's got a few other great loaves, onion dill, everything, you know, from that to sourdough. He's a great vendor.
So now tell me a little bit about the background of the market, you know, how long it's been in operation, you know, and why another farmer's market. I mean, we do have a lot these days.
Yeah, so our farmer's market, we're entering our third year for the summer season. We are Indy's only regularly scheduled Sunday market. This summer, we will be in operation from 10 a.m. to 1:30. And again, the nice thing about us is we're a Sunday market. You'll notice a lot of these markets in the area are Saturday markets. Oftentimes, you're going to have to be up 8 a.m., 9 a.m. or earlier, which some of us might not be early risers. So this kind of gives a different twist to it, a new alternative to your shopping. Some of those people that would like to get up a little bit later, you know, they can see some of their favorite vendors and do so at a great place with a fitness center, a water park nearby, and make the day complete.
Now, you had a winter market as well, so tell me a little bit about how that went.
Yeah, so the winter market, we've been working on that the past 2 years. We've moved locations indoors. Winter markets are tough, though. I think a lot of people like the outdoor vibe, the atmosphere that comes with the summer market. And a lot of produce vendors, it's hard for them to continue to keep their product in stock year-long. So finding produce vendors to make it through the winter is challenging. But we have created a routine. I think people are starting to catch on that we have it here, and we're excited to see what this next winter market will bring. But right now, we're going to focus on the summer market. We've got a lot of big things planned, different activities every Sunday, so come see us.
So tell me a little bit about your background. How does a person get to be a market master at a farmer's market?
Well, I always tell people I fell into the luckiest job coming out of college. A year ago today, I was actually an intern here at the JCC, and part of my intern experience was helping out with the market, you know, whether it was just tracking COL forms or contracts and making sure all vendors had paid their booth fees and getting everyone set for the season. A short 2 months later, they had an opening for a fitness services and operations manager. I just stuck around here, and they said, you know, let's have you come on board. And, you know, as soon as I came on, they kind of had me just jump into it. I've been learning on the go, and I've got to say this is probably my favorite part of the job.
So what do you do as a market master at the farmer's market?
Oh, market manager. So you're doing everything from, you know, you're communicating with all the different vendors, making sure all their paperwork, all the booth fees, things like that are in. You're also, you know, working to ensure that you're doing the right things, you know, such as marketing and advertisement to bring shoppers to them. It's a good feeling when you have a very busy day, all the vendors leave happy, you leave happy, and the more shoppers you get, the more vendors you can bring in. And for me, I call that a win-win, because then I can just do my shopping here too.
Well, now that's very handy. Have you gotten a lot of good feedback from you know, from the JCC members as well as the general public about this particular market?
Yeah, the members love the market, and this year we're really hoping to, now that we've moved locations and it's more visible to our community members, we're hoping that the word of mouth will help spread this market and really prop it up to be the market that we envision it to be. all markets take time, even something such as the Broad Ripple Market. They started out their first few years kind of straggling along, getting the word out. But once you build that consistency, once you start to build the relationships and the vendors start to feel confident coming in, I think, you know, from then on, everything will take care of itself.
Now, I just wanted to stress that this is a market that's open to the public. You know, you don't have to be a member of the JCC to come shop at the market, right?
Absolutely. And another part of that, you do not have to be Jewish to be a member at the JCC or shop at the market. That is a common question we get quite often, and I can't stress that enough. It's open to everyone. In fact, it's part of the JCC's mission to enrich the community through things such as the farmers market, arts and education, you know, whether it be fitness, sports and recreational activities, camp. We like to invite the public in, and yeah, doors are wide open, so come see us.
Now, where can people look for information about the market?
So they can go online to jccindy.org. You would go to the community tab and you would find the farmers market section, click on that and go. This year we just got authorized for SNAP benefits. So if that's something that, you know, is relevant to you, that will be something we offer this year. We're going to list all the different vendors we'll have, different Sunday activities, and we're looking to make our website more interactive and something that the shoppers can consistently go to find the resources they need to know.
You on Facebook too?
Yes, we do. We do have Facebook. We have Twitter and Instagram as well.
So tell me again the hours and the times for the market.
Yeah, so our market, the summer market, will kick off May 8th, and that's a Sunday. Hours will be 10 to 1:30, and we're going to be a weekly market, so come check us out every week. Sunday, May 8th is Mother's Day, so from 11 a.m. to noon, we will actually have Mother's Day-themed yoga on the lawn. So if that's something that interests you, come shop around, get your produce, some other specialty items, and take a great yoga class, which is free to the public as well, and enjoy Mother's Day.
We've been talking with Lance Smith, market manager for the JCC Farmers Market, which runs Sundays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and opens for the season May 8th. Mother's Day. For more information, go to jccindy.org or look for it on Facebook. This is Jolene Ketzenberger, and we are back here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio with our Farmers Market Focus show today. We've heard about what's happening with the original Farmers Market at the Indianapolis City Market, which opens for the season on May 4th. We've talked with founders of the new Garfield Park Farmers Market that opens May 7th, and we've heard about the JCC Farmers Market, which kicks off Sunday, May 8th. But I'm also happy to point out that the 38th and Meridian Street Market will be back this year, twice a month, after being open monthly last year. The market runs the first and third Thursdays of the month from 4 to 6:30 p.m. starting in June. Located in the parking lot of North United Methodist Church at 38th and Meridian Streets, the market has a mission to serve its neighborhood. And I stopped by this week to talk with Market Master Jessica Linder to learn more.
So this is North United Methodist Church. They are our sponsor and they're our host and our presenting sponsor for the market. So we really appreciate all the help that they've provided us. So in this parking lot along 38th Street is where we'll have the market. First and third Thursdays of the month, June through September, 4 to 6:30 p.m.
Now tell me why Thursdays?
Well, it started that way, believe it or not. This market started in 2000, so we're over 15 years old. Crazy to think about. And so we've just kept it that way. We feel like Thursday evening is a great time because on the weekends, you know, you have your kids, you have so much going on. At Thursday evening, you know, you can drive by on your way home from work or even, you know, bring your kids after work. It's just a great, you know, midweek engagement, I think.
It is, and it is a, I think, very much a stop by and pick things up on the way home kind of market.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why we like it to be on 38th Street. We want people to know that we're here and they can drive by. And we'll work on, you know, getting traffic, you know, traffic ways set so that people know that there is parking. You know, it's not a big deal to come in. It's not going to be crowded. Everyone is welcome.
You do. So I know you are right on 38th Street, and it's kind of at a rush hour, sort of a rush hour farmer's market, but there really is a lot of parking behind the church.
Absolutely. The parking lot behind the church is really big. So there's definitely parking. We're going to have wagons and things like that. So we'll have volunteers to help you to your car if you maybe get a watermelon or some big items.
Oh, no, that's what a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, don't worry about that aspect. There's plenty of room. And like I said, it won't be crowded. We'll have plenty of room for people to walk around and interact.
So now, what kind of vendors are you expecting for this season?
I'm so excited because most, if not all, of our vendors are coming back this year that were here last year. And a few of them have been here from the beginning. So it gives me goosebumps to think about. So there's not only, you know, fruits and vegetables, produce, all of that. We have a meat and cheese and honey vendor that is returning from last year. Like I said earlier, I'm close to locking in an egg vendor. He will also have greens and other things. Our kettle corn girl is coming back. We have soaps and body products. Oh, baked goods. What else? Oh, gluten-free this year. We have gluten-free baked goods coming. So
that's a huge thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I'm really excited to have her.
Now, tell me what kind of market this is, because, you know, some markets are very strict, some markets are less so. How do you sort of fit in on that spectrum?
Yeah, we're a little bit unique, I think, in that aspect. So one of the huge, huge things that makes us unique is that we do not charge a vendor fee.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. We firmly believe in our mission, which is simply to get fresh local produce and goods to the people of the community. And if that's what's going to make it possible, then that's what we got to do. We accept SNAP. We have Fresh Bucks. WIC is here at every single market handing out vouchers. We also have a program through the church called North Bucks, where if you meet certain qualifications, we will also give you vouchers to use at the market. So it's a huge opportunity for the community to come and, you know, get some fresh local produce. And it's such a melting pot of cultures. I just think that it's a great place for everyone to interact.
So you are right on the edge of Butler Tarkington, right?
Awesome.
So you serve the Butler Tarkington neighborhoods, but also south of 38th Street, those neighborhoods as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you really do have you are kind of in an interesting location.
Absolutely. And that's what makes us unique. And that's, you know, why I called it a melting pot. We draw crowds from several different areas. So this is a unique place, which is why I love it. And everything that's happening with Tarkington Park behind us, the Great Places Indy 2020, you know, this is the center of everything that's happening. So I'm excited to grow with that.
So there is a lot going on. So there is some construction back a ways behind us in Tarkington Park, which is getting, kind of a big update. So,
yes.
So people can check that out as well. So this is kind of a kid-friendly farmer's market, I guess. Kind of a kid-friendly one, right?
Definitely, because of WIC being present at every market handing out vouchers, we definitely have a lot of kids, you know, that are in tow with their mothers or fathers. So that's a great lead into that we're going to have a kids program this year. So we're going to have some materials and maybe even some handouts, some really exciting interactive things for kids to do this year. So I think the parents will be happy about that.
So this is such an urban market, and I know all of our markets are in the city or in and around the city, but you know, you are right here on a very busy corner.
Mm-hmm.
So it has that feel of a very, very urban market.
Yeah. And again, that's one of the things that makes us unique and and great because you can, a lot of people can walk here. There's a bus stop directly in front of the church right along 38th Street. So you can bus here, you can bike here. You know, there's so many places or so many ways to get here and get some food.
So now that does, you know, bring up the point that this is somewhat of a, could be considered a food desert area.
Yes, it definitely is considered a food desert. So it's very important that we keep this market going. And we did increase the frequency this year from monthly last year to every other week this year or twice monthly this year. We're hoping to keep that incline rolling and, you know, eventually go to weekly once the community calls for that. It's something that I'm very passionate about and I feel like the community is passionate about and it's needed. So hopefully that incline will keep going.
We've been talking with Jessica Linder, Market Master at the 38th and Meridian Street Market, which opens for the season June 2nd. For more information on the market, go to northchurchindy.com or look for it on Facebook. This is Jolene Katzenberger, and you've been listening to Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI HD2 The Point. Thank you so much for tuning in to our Farmers Market Focus show this week. And thanks also to our guests, Stevie Stace Kirsch, Executive Director of the Indianapolis City Market, Ashley Brooks and Julia Woody of the new Garfield Park Farmers Market, Lance Smith of the JCC Farmers Market, and Jessica Linder of the 38th and Meridian Market. And thanks also to producer John Katzenberger for helping to bring you Eat Drink Indiana Radio. Eat Drink Indiana Radio is made possible with support from Marigold Clothing, making fashion fun since 1989, in Broad Ripple, featuring women's clothing, gifts, and accessories, and committed to customer service. More on Facebook or at marigoldclothing.com. Eat Drink Indiana Radio is powered by EatDrinkIndy.com. Eat local, drink local, eat drink indie.